Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates of Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined by Karen, who has agreed to be with us this afternoon to talk about her experience of being on the New Year's retreat. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you, Jen. Fun
to
be here.
Yeah, good. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah.
So you've really been on quite a number of retreats at the monastery and for many years have chosen the New Year's retreat as part of your practice. And I wonder if you could tell us what it is about the New Year's retreat that you feel called to continue to participate in year after year.
Well, right now the New Year's retreat is sort of looking like a little beacon of light.
Uh-huh.
It's something I look forward to throughout the fall and throughout the holiday season too. It's just kind of, it's a real coming home feeling for me. After all the hustle and bustle and sort of what goes on out here with the holiday season.
It really does come at a good time, doesn't it?
Yeah, for me it does. Yeah. And I think what I really love is that we're with a lot of Sangha. It's usually a larger retreat and we all practice together. And we all are sort of beginning the new year together, and I just love that.
So you appreciate that the time of year it comes is really good for you because there's a lot of hustle and bustle, and I imagine all that comes with the holidays and that sort of thing. And it sounds like it's kind of twofold. One, that it's a beacon of light, so even maybe when difficult things are happening around the holidays, you know you're going to retreat, so you have that support that's out there for you that you can kind of look towards, and that when it finally arrives, it's really a kind of a respite, it sounds like, from the time of the holidays.
It really is. And, you know, for me, just having that, knowing I'm going to that, just signing up for it and knowing that, you know, life permitting that I'm going to be attending that, just it helps. It just sort of helps me stay the course, I guess you'd say. It just sort of helps guide me and just in my daily life here at home. And I always like to be signed up for that next retreat. And it's like seeing the lighthouse or something. It's just a little sort of calling to me.
That's a really good point. It really does. We've been talking about this the last few weeks in practice, and we're going to be talking more about it in specific, but it offers support to the person who wants to do practice. So it could be that the holidays in particular are challenging because there tends to be, I mean, not inherently, but there's kind of a lot of support for conditioning around the time of the holidays. There's a ton of belief assumptions about how things should go and how life should look and all of that. And then, of course, it never quite goes to those standards. And so it can be really challenging. But that's so true, that having made the commitment that you're going to go on retreat is such a statement to the person of support, to the person who really wants to practice, that she's important and that you're going to get to have that time to practice.
Yeah. Yes. And there's something to me so wonderful about the New Year's retreat. I remember last year just driving to the retreat and knowing that I was going to be eating such healthy food and that I was going to be receiving so much and, you know, all the goodness that comes that we receive on retreats. Just knowing that I was going to that, it's just very joyful.
Very joyful. Yeah, that's another concrete way that we get supported on retreat is through the food that we eat. And another way during the holidays that it can be really challenging.
Yeah.
That even if we have a commitment that we want to, you know, prioritize eating these certain foods and not so much of these certain foods, often that's difficult to do around the holidays because there's a lot of sugar around and caffeine and all those sorts of things that we don't do a lot of. But I love that, what you're saying, which is that coming on retreat is certainly, at least in my experience, and it sounds like for you too, not at all a deprivation as far as food's concerned. We're so well fed. The food is beautiful and it's delicious and it's nutritious.
Yeah.
And we don't have to choose between yummy and good for me. It's the same thing.
No. No, and it is beautiful. It's always colorful and it's presented beautifully. And the thing I notice when I'm eating food at the monastery and on retreats is that the food feels so good in the body. It's like the body knows it's being cared for. And it just feels so kind to the body.
Yep.
And
it's so, the environment is so quiet and often for people much slower, and so we really have a chance to actually taste it and experience it.
Yep.
Really have it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the big things that brings me to the New Year's retreat is we have that one-on-one guidance, and usually with the guide. If I'm thinking back, I think it's usually with the guide. I'm not sure how it's always going to be, you know, in every year, but it's that is just such a wonderful opportunity, and I gain so much from that. And I always, you know, we bring our recorder and we record our guidance, and we have that to listen to and refer back all year long.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about that the recording of their guidance session on the New Year's retreat with Sherry becomes part of sort of their practice plan for the whole next year, that really keep touching back on it. And it's so, especially for someone who makes the New Year's retreat an annual part of their practice, it's such a great touchstone. In fact, I never thought of doing this, Karen. I'm going to do it. I'm going to listen to mine again right before this retreat, because it's sort of a fun just landmark to see from year to year. What was I looking at? You know, what was the guidance I received?
It really is. It's just a wonderful opportunity, and that really means a lot to me. And then I love the schedule. You know, there's groups or workshops during the day, and that, you know, we have something to focus on every day that we're sort of working with, and then there's yoga.
Yeah.
And
boy, there really is a lot in it. There's so many different elements. The focus is so fun because in some ways the schedule is quite spacious in that it's not a working retreat, so there's no working meditation during the retreat.
Yeah.
And so there's plenty of time for, you know, taking walks and naps and that sort of thing. And so it's nice that each morning we come together for a workshop time and set that focus together as a group. We do some exercises and then sort of we're sent off to record and listen and be looking at certain things throughout the day, which really helps to kind of focus the practice time, and then come back in the evening and check in as a whole group with Sherry and see what we're seeing about that.
Yeah. And the groups at night are so much fun. You know, there's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of working and seeing.
Yep.
You know, whatever we're working on or seeing through. And
yep.
But it's
kind of everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. Yeah, and my experience. I haven't been to the Menlo Park location where we're having it this year, but I looked online, it looks beautiful, and they've always been held in a beautiful place where we can get out and walk, and I hear this year we have private rooms and private baths.
We can hardly believe it.
I know.
Yeah. So that's going to take away one practice opportunity, but that's okay.
So that's going to be really wonderful. And I don't know, since I knew I was going to be talking about it on the show, I went back and I save all my notebooks from all the retreats I go on, and it was so much fun looking back at last year's New Year's retreat, and it was such a rich, beautiful retreat. You know, just we worked with a subject all week long with a there was a theme, and it was just really a chance for me to deepen my own practice, and then I have that notebook to refer back to all year long. You know, to
it's really special, and as you said in the beginning, that's it is our largest retreat of the year, so it's quite a Sangha experience. You know, we're all we have a theme, and we're all looking at it from just dozens of different perspectives. People are adding what they see about it. It's very rich.
Yeah, it really is. And then, and I won't give any of it away, but we have our New Year's Eve tradition that I love.
Yep.
And it's a really special way to, you know, leave this year and go into our, you know, go into the next year with our practice and our love and our kindness and all the good things. And I project that everybody there feels that as they go into the next year. And it's a wonderful, that's a wonderful part of the retreat too.
Yeah, really, it's such a powerful way, as you say, to close 1 year and to invite in the next. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Karen. It looks like we're running out of time. Anything else you want to offer before we say goodbye?
No, I think that's it. Thanks, Jen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, and we'll see you soon.
Yes.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, Michael, before I turn it over to you and Sherry, I want to make one quick announcement, if I may.
Okay. Great.
To tell folks about the special show next week.
Yes.
Yeah. So as you know, because you know, that when Sherry spoke, I guess it was a few weeks ago when Alex was on the Good News Update and we were talking about recording and listening and different things about that, and then Sherry came on afterwards and spoke about the practice of recording and listening specifically around supporting the person for each of us, kind of like we were just looking at with Karen, who wants to do practice.
Yes.
So, I mean, I remember listening, and my jaw was just on the floor. I just thought, oh, this is brilliant. You know, this is such a beautiful summary of that practice and that possibility, and it just felt like she was kind of offering us a, not a next step so much, because I think probably a lot of folks have been doing that, but maybe a lot of folks haven't been, and just the way she described it, I think, made it very, very accessible, because I've heard people who have been practicing for many years, recording for many years, talk about how something in the way that she talked about it really shifted something for them. And so their recording and listening practice has shifted. So anyway, we're hearing that all from all over the place. Just you've heard people on the radio talk about it and lots of other places. So we decided we want to do a whole special open air on it. And
great.
So that is what next week will be. That
cool.
The whole show will be on that topic. And so we invite people to be looking at that through the week this week. You know, recording and listening as it pertains to supporting the, you know, doing, actually doing practice, kind of, you know, the grown-up, the person who comes to practice. So, yes, we do reassurances and we do things to support the little parts of us. And what is it to bring the recording and listening practice to the part of us who really wants to practice, to the person who's a grown-up and can do it,
mm-hmm.
that conditioning throws just everything in their path to attempt to thwart them from liberation?
Yeah. Yes, I can see the benefits for myself already of this show.
Yeah, don't exactly. I mean, so, much like we were just talking with Karen about, that we just thought
yes.
it would be fun, because we're hearing snippets from people here and there, we thought it would be so fun to have a whole show on what are people seeing about it? How has it shifted your practice? What do you see about that? You know, where do you want guidance around it? What are the unclear points? Just hearing from people about it. So.
Great, so if I'm following you, that's going to be the whole topic for every caller for next
that's,
week's show.
That's the topic for every caller in next week's show. And we'll make that announcement again at the beginning of next week's show so that people know that.
Great.
But, yeah.
And so if we have an urgent other issue, we could wait till the week after to bring that
exactly.
up.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. Yep. Or talk
that's
about
great.
It this week.
Say that again?
Or I said, or talk about it this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
And then related to that, Michael, I think you wanted to make a technical announcement.
Yes. 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 And there's no other way to phrase it, Jen, other than I deleted that wonderful show that people have been talking about so much. That's trying to figure out another way to say that, but there's not really a way to do that.
We had a technical challenge.
We had a technical challenge.
We did.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's great. And so that was the show from Tuesday, October 16th, 2 weeks ago. And it was up on the TalkShoe website for a good 24 hours from Tuesday through late afternoon on Wednesday. And so there may be listeners out there who have a copy of that show downloaded already and they're listening to it. And if they do, we would love to know that so that we could get a copy of that show and then we can edit it and put it up on the archives for everybody else to see.
Or auction it off on Saga Market or something like that. It's gold at this point. But
exactly.
So let me make sure I'm following so that folks, I mean, someone may be sitting on it and not even know they're sitting and not even realize it. So,
yes.
I mean, I think what actually happened is you didn't just delete it, but one file overwrote to the other. And so right now in the archives, technically, we have the October, whatever it is, 9th show twice. And we're missing the October 16th show. But if you have, and you'll have to help me with the language, if you either have the automatic download, so it just automatically, would it be an RSS feed?
Yeah, an RSS podcast subscription to the Open Air show on the TalkShoe website.
Okay. Then you would have gotten automatically the correct version before it was overwritten.
Yes, and you would have had to manually save it to your iPhone or your Android phone or your audio device.
Okay.
Because since the new show overwrote that one, that feed got overwritten also.
Okay. All right.
So, for example, if you're a person who on, you know, Wednesday morning habitually wants to get the latest Open Air onto your iPhone so you can listen to it, that's the person we're looking for.
Okay. So we are crossing our fingers that you're out there.
Yes. Yes. So if you transferred it to your iPhone, to your computer annually, please let us know. And you can send an email to openair@livingcompassion.org.
And even if you're listening to the archive of this show, you know,
exactly.
Now, a week from now, even a month from now, don't assume that we haven't figured out. Go ahead and contact us if you have it.
Yes.
And if we already have it, we'll just say thank you very much. We're taken care of.
Yes.
All right.
Wonderful.
Well,
thank
thanks,
you,
Michael.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great show.
Okay. Bye. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hey, Michael.
Hey.
How are
you?
Good. Good. Yeah. And personally, I would pay good money for a copy of that show. So, so if somebody, you know, needs that kind of, just let us know. It's so funny because, you know, people who spend any amount of time around me at all know that when it comes to the brain, mine is an absolute sieve. You know, nothing stays in there. So people will say, could you repeat that, what you just said? And I mean, it just got out of my mouth, and I have no idea what it was. So a number of people have said, you know, so it'd be really great if you could refer, and it's like, what? You know, I have no idea. I know it was a great conversation, because I know at the time I really enjoyed having it. But I don't even remember who I was talking to in that segment. So, you know, there's that. And so if anybody is thinking, oh, well, we'll just do it again, then we have to think again. It's not going to happen. So anyway, I'm hoping that there's somebody out there who has that and will sell it to me for big bucks.
Yes, that would be great. You were talking to me at the beginning of the show, and it was a lot of fun.
Oh, you and I were talking.
Yes.
Ah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. All right.
It
all doesn't come back, Michael. It's as vague as ever. But that's okay.
The ironic thing, you know, I'd get an email saying, you know, that conversation that Sherry talked about recording listening was so great. You know, when is the archive show going to be up there? And I'd think, oh, yikes.
It's funny because this is, I don't think this has ever happened in the history.
It's the first.
Yeah,
it's the first.
So I mean, you just gotta love this kind of thing. It's like, okay, there.
Yeah. Well, it was quite fascinating from an awareness perspective for me because the first email came in, and I thought, oh, okay, I must have clicked something, and then I'll fix it later. And then about an hour or so later, just you know, I was doing something else. The insight came in about what I had done, and it was like, oh no.
Oh dear.
Oh,
and that's
dear.
Awful, isn't it? When the insight, it just drops in and it kind of goes over your spine like an ice cube, right?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, not being attached is something that we practice, so so it serves us well sometimes.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So I don't feel like we really need to announce that New Year's retreat, but I bet you have an announcement about it, right? Karen did a brilliant job.
Yes.
And Jen, on covering every aspect of that retreat.
Yes, I don't think they missed a piece of it.
Yeah. So anyway, anybody who wants to join us can. I bet that's all we have to say. I know the numbers are climbing up, so... you know, people, again, don't want to hesitate too long because we have that month out thing. So I think, it's the end of November, though. So there is a little time in terms of getting your name on the list, but the list is growing by leaps and bounds. So even though it's our biggest retreat, we do have that little cutoff thing that they require us to do. So.
Yes. Great.
Yeah.
And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry from San Francisco.
Oh, hello, Sherry. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. What's going on?
I'm just doing my regular check-in, my commitment check-in, and... wow, conditioning, it was so fascinating today. This whole thing of, I never get tired of talking about this, I hope you don't, but this whole thing about preparing.
Sherry, we've already established I don't remember anything, so I don't get tired of anything. That's why it's great. It's all new to me. So.
I love it, because it just continues this whole thing of, I'm just going to show up. You know, this is still like, you know, there's one of the rare places in my life where I can practice not preparing and just being whoever I am in the moment, whatever life wants to drop in.
Mm-hmm.
And conditioning today just kicking up a bigger storm than I can remember in a long time about calling in.
Thought it was a bad idea.
Well, and it was just all day long, like, you know, you should work on this. You should work on that. You know, like this whole self-improvement piece that it wants me to do of, you know, you should have a topic. How about this? And it, you know, all day long suggesting things in my life that would be really helpful to work on.
I just sent a little note to somebody remarking again, as I think I so often do, that what's obvious is how much it's against us. And yet, we are so trained to be in relationship with it. You know? I mean, anybody who cares about you would say, Sherry, you know, you're a fabulous human being. You know, just showing up, that's way plenty. You know, you don't need to improve yourself. You don't need to, you know, just show up anywhere. Anybody would be happy to have you there. But what we get instead is this non-stop, there's something wrong with you, you should be different, You need to fix this. This is what's wrong with you. Don't do anything that takes care of you. Don't do anything that's good for you. You need to be punished. You need to be humiliated. You need to be frightened and threatened. Easy.
I just have to tell you, that was such a beautiful experience hearing you say that about showing up. And it's true, like, it's just so funny because all day I was just like, no, 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 sorry, no. And then it kept trying this thing of, well, you're not going to get, you know, what if you get on and then you start telling, you know, like that whole thing, like, don't tell.
Yeah. Don't tell that you're like everybody else. And especially don't tell what I'm doing to you.
You just laid it all out. It's like, hello, it's not like this is any secret. You know, it's just, this is what I love about calling in, because it's just funny.
Yeah, yeah. I happen to know you have a child. And so that's, to me, is such a perfect check-in for us, because it's like trying to picture yourself saying, now, Kane, for God's sake, don't be who you are. Okay, you have to work really hard to actually be anything other than what you are.
Oh,
it's horrible to even
even to
let that idea come into our mind is horrible, and yet people continue to believe it's okay somehow when it's being done to us.
And I just, this is the opportunity to just keep exposing it over and over.
Yeah.
And it is such a key thing in my life.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I've only been brave. You know, I try to practice it as much as I can in other places, because it's so important. Like this whole thing that it has me like, and you know, of course, like it wants me to prepare so that what, you know, then I'm going to, I don't even know what it thinks. Because it doesn't want people to like me. It doesn't want me to like life.
Right. Well, and here's the key to that, which I know you know, but I'm going to say it anyway in case there's somebody out there who doesn't. The whole point is to keep you from being present.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with preparing. If you didn't fall for preparing, it would have some other story running. Because the whole thing, always, every moment with everybody is just to get a person not to be present.
Yep.
So, you know,
here's the
thing that I hope you do from now on. I can't remember if I've suggested this before, but even if I have, it's still good. You got to start laughing at it. You just got to. When you hear the voice, who's a comedian that you like?
Oh, goodness.
Is there one?
Brian Regan.
Who?
Brian Regan.
Okay. And is this a funny person?
He's funny, yes.
Okay. All right. So you picture the voice, you put that line in the mouth of the comedian.
The conditioning's line in his
mouth.
Oh, interesting.
Yep. You just imagine him saying it. And then you know it's a joke, and so you laugh.
Oh, no, you said, at least I don't remember you've ever suggested this. I don't think so. This is great.
It is good, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
I love this.
Yeah, or you could picture, you know, somebody like Charlie Chaplin, you know, with the cane and and the feet splayed out and the, you know.
Or on his cane.
Whoever, you know, whatever you're feeling like in the moment, and you just, it's a comedy routine. And so, you just laugh. Oh, that's a good one. that's funny. Okay.
And that is great. And what's so great about what you're saying is I'm reminded of that whole, like, who's on first thing.
Yes.
And it's like, that's kind of like what conditioning is, isn't it? I mean, it's just like ridiculous. It's just the same thing over and over.
Yeah. And so it really is, you know, with somebody like in any of those old comedy routines that, you know, people, well, every age has comedy routines that they can do, right? Because they've been done so much that, and what makes them funny is that they have been done so much. So, you know, the idea being the old jokes are the best jokes, because there will be a routine. You know, if you watch somebody like Jon Stewart, you know, they have this shtick that they do, right? And the first 10 times, it's kind of funny. But every time after that, it gets funnier and funnier, because what's funny is that it's so funny.
Yes. Oh, that is so great.
And so it's perfect with conditioning, because it is a repetition machine. I mean, it's, you know, the lines have to be funny over and over and over, because that's all it's got is lines that are repeated over and over and over and over.
I think this is brilliant. I love this.
Good.
Because you're right. It is. This is that's exactly how those things. I'm thinking. I love that you mentioned Jon Stewart, because that is true, and I could think of that. That's sort of like repeating and repeating and repeating.
Yes. And so you could even, here's the next one. If you have your recorder with you as you go around, just to kind of train yourself, record laughter. So it could be, you know, a whole different a bunch of different kinds of laughs. It could be just you doing different kinds of laughs, or different people laughing. And in fact, there are, you know, videos of people laughing. And you could record those, and then when it starts in on you, you just hit that recording, and it reminds you that what you're meant to, your response to this is laughter, because
this
it's comedy
is fun.
Routine.
This is so fun.
Okay, now you're going to let me know if this works, right?
You know what? I am. I love it.
Good.
I'm off to practice.
Okay. Great.
Thank you. See what happens? This
yeah.
is great.
It's
show
perfect.
Up.
If you'd had something planned, we'd have never had this conversation.
I know, and this was fun.
It
okay.
is. All right. Thanks, Sherry.
Keep that show to you both.
And to you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Right.
Hi, this is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software, for Macs and iPhones and iPads, and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, I wanted to mention one other thing about the show that's missing.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to mention the date again. It was the October 16th show. And also it had the good news update with Alex and Jen talking about the iPhone software update, so you can use the alarm to listen to your recordings. So that might jog someone's memory.
Okay, so good. Yeah, because that good news was mighty good too, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And we have another caller here. next caller. You are now live on here. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry, Michael, it's Jodine in San Francisco.
Hello, Jodine.
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I'm calling because you gave me homework the last time I was on, and I'll remind you what it was.
Okay, good, good, good.
And I've been trying to call in for 3 months.
3 months?
For two months, because you gave me the homework, and then I tried to call in a month later, and then a month later.
Wow.
So it
only feels like 3 months.
Yeah.
Okay, I hope it was good homework so that it carried you through that length of time.
Well, it's interesting because I think that it's just been kind of going deeper and deeper. Like, so I have more to report on, you know, more levels of it. So, so the issue I was working with was my work life, the work that I do in the world, and feeling like that I can't. I have not been able to get promotions.
It's all coming back to me.
It's all coming back. Yeah,
you're the wrong
and
gender
so,
and possibly the wrong color, and all you're wrong in all sorts of ways. The wrong ethnicity.
Something. And actually, I started thinking of it more like how to talk about it. To talk about, say, the purple people and the blue people at my work, to get some of the content out of it. But one thing that happened was shortly after you gave me my homework, which was despite my life circumstances, which I might be able to make a case that there's something unfair happening to me, that my homework was to be the happiest person that I can be in those life circumstances.
Uh-huh.
And I'm so glad that was my homework, because shortly after that phone call, a promotion became available at my job, and a number of people applied for it, including me, and I did not get it.
Uh-huh.
And there are no purple people left in the ranks at my job. It's all, they've all been promoted to be managers. And so nobody applying for this job was purple. And the person who got it I think another bias that goes on in this place. She was the least experienced person who applied.
Wow.
And this has also happened a couple of times where inexperienced people are put into positions like managing people with a lot more experience than they have. And I don't understand it, and it makes the dynamic very strange. But anyhow, in what was happening for me was it was just the suggestion that you suggested to be the happiest person I could be.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was finding was that I would have days when I am actually as happy as I could be, like as happy as I've ever been in this very same life circumstance that was making me miserable when I, you know, called in about it. And I suspected as soon as you gave me the assignment that was probably part of this. And as I went through the process of applying for the job and getting turned down for the promotion again, I did not suffer, I have to say, at all during that whole process.
Good for you.
You know, I felt like I interviewed really strongly. I told them my vision for the place, and I have a very clear vision of what we could do and where we could go. And when they said no, I'm fine with that.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Because you did your best.
Yes, I put my best foot forward in the whole interview process.
And whatever they've got going is whatever they've got going.
Yes, and I just so clearly, like, it just became so clear to me through that whole process, like, you know, how could you, I mean, the one thing that the supervisor said, not the top person, but the day-to-day person who runs things, after she announced who had got the promotion, she said, we had a very qualified applicant pool. We had a very hard decision. And so-and-so got it.
Uh-huh, but we decided to go with the least experienced person.
Right, I mean, everybody knows it, but she didn't say anything about, you know, why she selected the person.
Yeah.
So anyhow, what ended up, what's going on for me about it now is, two things. There's a, I'm every day that I'm suffering, if I am suffering, I've really got some distance on it, and I know that I'm choosing it.
Uh-huh. Now, let me ask you this. So you can see that it's a choice because you can see that the circumstances are exactly the same, and one day you're fine with it. In fact, you're quite happy with it. And then the next day or the next week or whatever it is, you're not. And are you able to watch what goes on when you're not? I mean, can you see that you're going into a conversation and that you're indulging that and that sort of thing?
Yes, I hear the stories. Sometimes I wake up in the stories, and sometimes as soon as it starts, I'm like wide awake. I'm like, oh yeah, forget that.
Uh-huh.
And I'll do, you know, and I use the turning my attention elsewhere.
Uh-huh.
So I have to say, thank God for the practice because, you know, those, my good days are because of practice.
Yeah. Now, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Mine too. And, do you have a sense of how it lulls you into a state of receptivity sometimes?
Mm.
You don't have to answer now. That could be the next great homework assignment, right? Because there's something that goes on, right? Sometimes, you come to immediately and you recognize the story. And so there's a way you're getting set up, right? Because the story starts somewhere, right? And there's, so sometimes it falls into fertile ground and it's gotcha. It's alive and growing. Other times it's not a receptive environment and it catches you. It catches your attention and you realize what's going on. So seeing how that process happens. Now, I don't think that there's an intelligence behind this that says, okay, if we this, then that. So it's a kind of a random thing that's going on. I don't know how to say that clear. It's like there's nothing that knows it's going to work or it's not going to work. So it's kind of like fishing. You know, the person throws the bait in. And we often see this in meditation, right, where how about that? You could think about that. Well, what about that? Aren't you worried about that? Well, what if that happens? And you could just
see
the bait is being dropped in, and then for most people it's like at some point the bait is too tantalizing and we bite. To begin to see that, because if I recall, I don't know if it was that conversation or a previous conversation, but one of the things that we established was you're actually quite happy with your job as it is, in that you're well paid, it's not terribly stressful, I mean, it has.
Yeah, it's interesting work.
Yeah, and the only kind of fly in the ointment is they won't give you a promotion that it feels to you like you deserve or have earned or whatever. So it's like everything is perfect about this job. You know, if promotions were not on the horizon, then there would be no nothing to be unsettled about, right? But because these promotions keep coming up and you're not selected, then even though the job is really a great job, conditioning has this thing to attach to, this dissatisfaction to attach to. Go ahead.
I think that as I put a little bit more time in between me and realizing these things, I think what's been coming up for me is like, it feels like this work thing for me is very deep, is some of my deepest conditioning, or somehow my deepest conditioning is really like triggered in this whole situation. And as it was, as I was thinking, like, why? What is going on? And what would freedom look like around this? That's another question I've been kicking around. What would it look like if I were free from the conditioning that's got me here?
Yes.
And I think one thing I've got to is that there's basically conditioning wants me to think that that the content of my life matters.
Yes. Yes. That was my addition to what you were looking at. What if this didn't mean anything?
Right. Yeah, what if it really is all about how I am with myself as I go through things that challenge me, things that as I just go through my life.
Yeah, so I hope everybody listening is applying this, whatever their content is. So I'm going along through life, and what I'm running into is karma.
Right.
So can I meet karma with unconditional love and acceptance? Can I not let it mean anything? That's one piece of it, and whatever interpretation there is, whatever meaning is attached to it that is not let go yet, can that meaning be greeted with unconditional love and acceptance? So I have a karma to believe that people don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that a lot of the reason that people don't like me is because I have a karma that sees people as not liking me. Okay, so that I've done a lot of practice now.
Yeah.
And now I'm catching on to the fact that I treat people as if they don't like me, which is not a likable characteristic. So it begins to dawn on me that maybe the chicken did come before the egg or whatever. And so now I watch that arise, and rather than waste my time going through the meaning of that and believing that it means that and reinforcing that meaning, I see it as karma. Yep, well, that's the karma that I came in with, and I greet it with unconditional love and acceptance. So it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with me. It doesn't mean that I should be different. It certainly doesn't mean that it's true. I can now apply the thing that we talk about so much in practice, which is a change in behavior, right? Because I've had a change in consciousness. I realized that, I think this is karma. It might not be true or real anywhere except in my head. And so if that's the case, I'm going to apply a behavior change that is going to enable me to continue to have that same difference in consciousness. So I'm going to approach that conversation when it comes up with unconditional love and acceptance. Yep, that's what you're conditioned to believe, all right, and that's perfectly fine, but let's approach it as if it's not true and go from there. And that's how karma falls away.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to listen to this again. I'm trying to formulate my karma. Do you have a sense of what the karmic statement is for me?
Well, no. And certainly a place that we could look is how people react to me says something about who I am. And so, yeah, with this, with what you're looking at right now, to me, the clearest example of that is I don't want to go out with this person who asked me out. But then I find out that they asked somebody else out, and I'm upset. So even though I don't want them, I don't want them rejecting me.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, that hits home.
Yeah. So just to look there, you know, I want to be valued and appreciated and perceived as this, and this, even by people who I actually don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Next thing for you to learn.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Talk to you soon, I hope.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jodine. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have an important message here, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night. Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Carol from Quebec.
Welcome up there.
Hi. So I wanted to check in, and a lot of conditioning has been very, very active in preparing for this call and trying to talk me out of it, and I love the can it not mean anything? Can this whatever is said or goes on in this call, can it not mean anything? I really love that. I love that question. It's very freeing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So voices are trying to tell you this, and they're trying to tell you that, and in this country right now. We're in a very political time, and so everybody, and you know this from where you are, I'm sure, but everybody's got something to say about everything, and after a while, it gets to be So what? And if we could approach our internal workings in the same way. So the other night at group at the monastery, somebody was talking about having listened to the presidential debate and getting completely depressed. And I asked her if she was listening because she was undecided about who she was going to vote for. And she said, oh, no. I said, well, then why would you want to listen to that? And it's, you know, it's one of those moments of, oh, yeah, now why would I want to listen to that? And we can do the same thing with ourselves. I know how I want to live. I know what's important to me. I know who I am. I know what my life stands for. Why would I want to listen to anything else?
That's right. And that's actually, that's what I've been looking at. Since the past several weeks, I've been looking at this question, which is, how is conditioning controlling my life? Where is it operating? How is it operating? And that question really, really grabbed me. And so sort of waking up at different times during the day and looking, okay, what's going on? Who's controlling? Who's deciding what I'm going to do next?
And
it's been just a wonderful practice tool, and has turned it to looking at how is conditioning controlling access to practice. That's really good, and it's made a big difference. I'm meditating earlier in the day so that I'm not having to be in conflict with meditating or sleep. And then just recently, looking at how conditioning these messages come in about, okay, this is what you're going to do next.
Right.
Okay. Now.
Oh, thank you for that.
Yeah, really. Now you have to, and this constant micro planning just before I'm going to do something, that voice that comes in and says, okay, now this is how you're going to do it, and then going along with that, and seeing this pattern I've had this game that I would play in a way. I thought it was a game since I was a child, which would go, okay, now what's the most efficient way to do this thing? Okay, you've got to bring in the groceries from the car. Now you have 3 bags. If you take the 2 bags in, now, but you could take the 3 bags in now, and then you only have to do 1 trip. That kind of thing. That kind of, you know, manipulating and looking for, I don't know, trying to, you know, these voices just controlling that in a very micro way, in a fine way.
And the thing that's so fascinating about that is you were being brainwashed and made to believe that it was you. And that it was a game, and that it was fun, and that you were getting something valuable out of it. Right? And instead, I mean, looking at it now, we can see, actually, you were just learning to accept brainwashing. So that when you get older, and it tells you, you will do this, you will do that, now you need to do this, you're trained not to question that. Because you just know it's you.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yes.
That's powerful.
It's really powerful. And it's really fun just to randomly, you know, just whatever's happening. And then to, okay, I think I have to do this. For some reason, housework becomes the most important thing. Wait a minute. There's much more important things to be done in this moment. And then how freeing that is to... just to see that and drop it. And
yes.
see what, and then to see that what are the important things that have to be done, like practice or spending time with loved ones or, yeah,
it's so funny, isn't it, that I like to kid people about that. You know, it's time to meditate, and so suddenly washing the dishes is just the most important thing in the world to do. The rest of the time, no, I have no interest in doing that. But meditation time, oh, yeah. clean that garage.
Yes, it's really it is pretty fascinating, and just to see that as like you were saying, it's random. It's just hitting all on all. It's trying at every moment to. It's just what it is. It's just kind of working itself out or something, and you can,
so
you can go with it.
And I was talking with somebody earlier today, as a matter of fact, and suggesting a similar practice with a similar outcome or point of view, which is training oneself to say regularly, am I here? Am I here? Am I here? As a way to break that circuit. Because the habit is so ingrained to be unconscious and not know it. And what you laid out about that, what I call that brainwashing system, is such a perfect picture of how it works. Because once a person is convinced that they are present in when they are unconscious, lordy, lordy. Because then the person is content to go around all day long in a state of unconsciousness, thinking that they are awake and present. So to do any kind of practice, to train ourselves toward any practice that has us stop and question that assumption. Who's calling the shots? Who's making these decisions? Am I practicing what I want to be practicing? Am I actually here? Do I know how I made that decision?
And at any moment, looking at, okay, what are those ideas or those decisions that are being held? Because some of them are, I may not be acting on them, but I'm going to be acting on them in the next 5 minutes.
Right.
Exactly.
I'm
programmed here, so.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
It's breaking down the program.
Yeah, and to really get it that I am brainwashed. So it's that kind of, a person is hypnotized not to know they're hypnotized. You know, and then you try to tell them that they're hypnotized, and, of course, there's no way they're going to be open to that. And that's a good picture of what we're up against. So the brainwashing system is created to see what it is as not brainwashing and any attempt to interfere with it as brainwashing.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course...
Flipping the mirror, flipping the whole thing around.
Yeah, exactly. So to get it that right now, I'm probably unconscious. You know, people would approach it that way. Right now, I'm probably unconscious. So what is the world that I'm living in? What does this look like? What does unconsciousness look like? And, of course, it's a great technique for coming to. But we have to train ourselves to ask those questions, to be present in that way. Otherwise, what we're doing is trying to see unconsciousness through unconsciousness. And, of course, the unconsciousness that we're looking through has trained us to see unconsciousness as consciousness.
That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And that question, and that's why I love these questions so much, that they continue to live in a certain way, maybe right under the radar, but at some point something will happen, and there it is. There's that question. Am I here? You know.
Yes.
Who's controlling? Who decided this?
Yes.
And then. Mm-hmm.
That's that old Zen thing of the old monk who would walk around, and call his name. You know, he would call out to himself, and then he would answer. So he could walk around all day going, Carol? Yes. And that, I mean, I don't know what the story is really about, but that's the way I've interpreted it. You know, because if you're going to stop and call yourself forth, you know, you've got to be present in order to do that. And and that's what doesn't happen to us. We're not called to be present. And we're counting on a system that is designed to keep us in unconsciousness to bring us to consciousness. And it's just not ever going to happen. So that's very good. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
We got some good practice tips tonight, huh?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Carol.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. You're listening to Open Air. Sherry, we're about at 5:56 here. Would you like to talk to another person?
Sure. That's so interesting. I have a 5:59. Time is an amazing thing, isn't it? All right, let's try it.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Holly from Australia.
Oh my gosh.
I can't believe I've got through.
I can't. Okay, now I know I say these things and people probably think, oh, yeah, sure, Huber. I have been thinking about you with great regularity.
Oh,
you know,
the
way it works is that I'm just walking around and then this image of a person pops up, right? And there you are. And I think, you know, we haven't heard from her in months.
I know. Actually, it's probably been like a year.
Yeah. What the heck is going on?
Well, I've tried to get through, and for whatever reason, I haven't got through. Sometimes my phone's not connecting. Sometimes I'm just too late in the queue. And I actually tried around the precepts time because I thought that would be really special to get through, and I couldn't. So I just got a few minutes now, and I'm so pleased. So hello to everybody, and I think
you're alive
about,
and well. That much we can
say. I'm
tell.
Alive and well, and I think about you and the monastery and everything a lot. And I really want to come back maybe next your summer, my winter. And I think I need to stagger my savings because I can't just do it in a lump sum kind of. Anyway, I've got to come back.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you do. Well, just get the plane ticket together.
Look, yeah, that's what I thought. If I get that down and way in advance, you know, when the schedule comes out, and then I'll just apply and try my luck.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. It's been too long.
Yeah.
And this is this would be a change of weather for you, wouldn't it? To leave winter and come to our summer.
Yeah, it's a very good thing.
So health is good, practice is chugging along.
Yeah, everything continues. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just saying hi because it's about the end of the show.
Uh-huh.
I was going to talk about my dad because he's sick and it's been challenging, but I won't. It's okay. I think it's just good to touch base because I sort of was wondering. I don't know. It's just important to just say hi anyway.
Yeah, it is. It's important to stay connected with Sangha. Whatever it is, it's that.
But I'm doing the practice. It's all happening, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I haven't just gone back into hedonism and.
Right. Well, not full time anyway, huh? So yeah, it's just the energetic connection. That's the whole deal with all of the things that we do to. For Sangha to stay in touch. It's just, you know, it's just knowing that we're all here and we're all practicing, and I think that's what keeps us all going. So,
yeah,
good.
And it's nice to just even, like, I've stuck the daily recollection. I laminated it, and it's stuck on the wall next to my pillow
uh-huh.
where I sleep. And, I don't know. It just feels nice to even know that everyone's sitting around. Well, I think they're all sitting around the monastery listening to this now, and the dogs and all. So, I don't know. It's just a really nice feeling. It's like I'm kind of there even though I'm not.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we feel it too. Yeah, so that's great. All right. Well, I'm going to think that all of this, you arising in my conscious awareness, was in preparation for this call. And so maybe we can... Hopefully you'll keep trying, and we'll be able to have a longer conversation and hear about your father and all like that.
Thank you very much, and maybe I'll see you next year sometime.
All right, we'll plan on it. Let's plan on it.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Holly. You've been listening to Open Air. I'm feeling very blessed today, Sherry.
Yeah, me too. And thank you for that encouragement to take that one more call. That was very intuitive. That was good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, thank you so much, Michael.
Well, thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
And we'll do it again.
We'll do it again. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.